Korean researchers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Your Royal Highness, Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to talk about the work which we have performed in about only 5 weeks, from late August until early October, and this work was commissioned by the Hungarian government, as our president mentioned it in his introductory speech. And we tried to assess the size and the structure of migration to Hungary, and we tried to give some policy-related recommendations, but not more. Basically, our focus was analysis. Okay, thank you. By August 2015, we have realized that the number of illegal border crossings to Hungary and at the southern border has tremendously increased, and it amounted to a couple of thousands each week in August. The reasons were manifold. Some of those was the underperformance of some southern countries of the European Union in performing their border controls, but anyway, Hungary had to face this problem, and we tried to reflect upon how we could come out with some success of this sudden change of events. Basically, the center of our attention was this. There are some negative impacts of this process, but we tried to sort out the positive ones. And we try to link it to some of Hungary's labor market problems. This country is suffering from a lack of qualified or skilled labor, and it leads also, this problem is not only social, it is also economic in character. Okay. Sorry, we skipped a few. Okay, this is it. Here you see the maps, and these maps show you in a concise way the structural change of migration to Europe between 2014, 2015, both first half of the year. You see that the flows have relocated to the Balkans, and at the end of the Balkan route is Hungary, top of the map, with the big green arrow. And this shows basically the size of the problem the Hungarian government and the country had to solve. Now the next question is, how could we compare these developments with the former ones, with the trends of immigration, which were already more or less considerable, between 2010 and 2014? And how was it with integration to the Hungarian society and labor market of these migrants? We have seen a double picture, basically. In the first place, the migrants who came from Asia and the Middle East could integrate into the Hungarian society with quite much success. The problem was, however, that this was a quite limited population, only a few thousand people. Interestingly, we found also that in this time span, 2010-2014, the integration of immigrants of European origin was, in a sense, less successful than those coming from Asia and the Middle East. What we have seen in 2015, and we analyzed the data of this year between 1st of January and 31st of August, and this was a population of more than 130,000 people, that the structure of these influx was completely different. It was rather transiting than immigrational. The people coming to Hungary went on to Austria and Germany, and we estimated the percentage share of these people to at least 97%, which means that only a fraction remained in this country. And of course, we could not judge or estimate the integration of this very, very limited population. However, we had enough data coming from the registration process performed at the border by the Hungarian authorities of the structure of these population moving through Hungary, and we found a quite interesting structural change. Basically, the majority of these people were Syrians. And what was even more interesting, that the age structure of these people was entirely different from the previous one. There was an overwhelming majority of young males. You see it here. These are the young males. And the percentage share of women was much, much smaller, which in a sense seems to contradict the idea or the thesis that entire families came in big numbers. It is probably not true, at least not true, regarding this flux of immigration. Here you see the nationality picture, which might be a little bit misleading, because we have to tell you that these people, the nationality of these people was registered based on the data communicated by them, the migrants themselves. So it might not be always in line with the real situation. However, we see that the majority, relative majority of them were Syrians, and Syrians and Afghans taken together made out more than the half of this population coming to Hungary. Altogether, 70,000 people were from Syria and Afghanistan. The others came from the Balkans, Kosovo, Pakistan and Iraq. And interestingly, sub-Saharan African countries appeared also among the countries which we called the sending countries. These countries do not really send these people, but for a statistical approach, it seemed to be a good term. Again, we see the sex structure of the immigrants by country. And we see that there are a couple of countries, like, for example, Pakistan, from where only males came to Hungary. Of course, the route is long between Pakistan and Hungary, but this is still a quite interesting piece of data. From Syria and Afghanistan, there were probably a number of families also. And the same is true for Iraq and the sub-Saharan African countries. Now let us take a look at the countries sending, as I told you, quote-unquote, migrants to Hungary. Our first impression is that the map of these countries has been widening. It includes a number of African countries, sub-Saharan, as I told you, and below. And among them, we find a couple of countries which are sometimes called failed states. Some of them, like Somalia, is probably such a place. And we have also seen that Southeast Asia appears on the map, like Vietnam, quite far from Hungary. So whereas a few years ago we could speak of immigration to Hungary basically of a Balkanic origin, and then came the countries sending immigrants to Hungary from the Middle East, now it is basically the Eurasian continent plus a significant part of Africa. We see then the regions of origin and the size of asylum seekers in the European Economic Area. These are data for the entire year of 2014 and the first 8 months of 2015. You see here that basically each European Union country is involved. One exception is Portugal. But of course, Portugal is very far from where the events are taking place. And Hungary was one of the biggest receiver countries, even if this migration, as I told you, was transitional in character. Also, northern Scandinavian countries appear on the receiving side. And again, we see the number of asylum seekers per 10,000 inhabitants, and the picture is shockingly the same as before. The biggest, also relative, in relative terms, the biggest receiver country is Germany, and Hungary is on the top of the list. And finally, and this is my last slide, we made a comparative analysis of legislation regarding immigration in the European Union countries. We have found that the legislative systems have not been really prepared to cope with this challenge. It looks like these days some countries are trying to introduce or perform a couple of legal corrections to adapt to the situation. But we had to say that the first reactions in Western Europe from politics and also from societies were rather ethical and humanitarian in character, and the practical political approach came a little bit later after the first one. And finally, we made a couple of policy-related recommendations to the Hungarian government, which basically was very much focusing on the labor market, on the adaptation of Hungary's labor market to the increasing flow of immigrants, plus a couple of other policy fields which were as yet completely passive, at least in this country, like public health, geopolitics, water supply, even cultural and religious considerations could be involved. So this was basically a brief summary of our research, and I'm open to questions if there are any. Thank you very much.